Hello and welcome to Meiwei's Chinese Medicine Matters podcast, where we share traditional Chinese medicine news, research, and topics relevant to TCM practitioners and students. I'm Lauren Kaufel, and in this episode, Dr. Jasmine Rose Oberst discusses the Chinese medicinal herb garden at the UC Botanical Garden in Berkeley, California. She will also be touching on growing your own herb garden. Dr. Jasmine Rose Oberst is a doctor of Chinese medicine, licensed in California, Hawaii, and the UK, after completing her master's in 2004, and more recently, her doctorate, both at the American College of Traditional Chinese Medicine in San Francisco. In addition to clinical practice, she is an award-winning permaculture designer with a focus on community-based restorative agriculture. Dr. Oberst teaches Chinese herbal medicine, Shi Liao, Chinese diet therapy, and permaculture. She recently opened an online store of her own Chinese herbal products and pottery, and you can find a link to that in the episode description.
Chinese medicine emerged over centuries of quiet observation of the seasonal cycles and the dynamic relationship between humans and our environment, the natural world. Observing the shift in qi expression of a deciduous tree from young spring growth upward and outward to fruition in summer, to the receding and letting go of leaves in autumn, and the sap going deep into the roots of the tree for winter's hibernation, mirrors our pulse qualities throughout the year, as well as the natural activities of mammals. Many of us are drawn to study and practice Chinese medicine in part due to the wisdom held by such quiet observation and an intuitive understanding that it's a more sustainable way of healing and of being. However, when we're in school with hundreds of new herbs to learn, taste, temperatures, actions, and combinations, we're often disconnected from the source of those herbs, many of which grow around us every day. A wonderful book I discovered while I was in acupuncture school at the American College of Traditional Chinese Medicine is Herbal Emissaries, Bringing Chinese Herbs to the West, A Guide to Gardening, Herbal Wisdom, and Well-Being by Stephen Foster and Yue Chongxi. This book opened my eyes to how many Chinese medicinal herbs were growing as ornamentals, shrubs, trees, and sometimes as weeds as I walked around Potrero Hill in San Francisco between classes. Over the last few hundred years, more plants have been introduced from China into Western gardens than from any other part of the world. Many of the Asian species grown as ornamentals such as balloon flower, jiagang, forsythia, lianqiao, gardenia, jirzi, peony, baishao, chershao, and mudanpi, and chrysanthemum, zhuhua, are commonly used in traditional Chinese medicine. Trees used medicinally that I observe in gardens and beautifying city streets include ginkgo, baiguo, and mimosa or silk tree, which is the source for both hehuanpi and hehuanhua, as well as the cypress family shrub, which is the source of both baizeren and zibaye. Sadly, these two monumental contributors to the field of East Asian medicine, person and place, are both no longer. Botanical photographer, herbalist, and scientist Stephen Foster passed away in 2022, and the American College of Traditional Chinese Medicine closed its doors last year. At its height, there were over 140 different medicinals growing at ACTCM. Many of the plants that had been growing in the ACTCM herb garden were dispersed into the home gardens of alumni and former patients. Of course, the larger trees, such as the mulberry and the loquat, remain there, as well as some of the more tenacious plants, like the hoshouwu growing out front on Arkansas Street. During my years studying at ACTCM, I also discovered the wonder that is the Chinese medicinal herb garden at the UC Botanical Garden in Berkeley, and became friends with Elaine Sedlak, the now recently retired former head gardener of the expansive Asian section at the UC Botanical Garden. It was during Elaine's earlier years at the Botanical Garden in the mid-1980s that the Chinese Medicinal Herb Garden was created. We reconnected recently, Elaine and I, recently to discuss about how this garden came to be, a cooperative effort of ACTCM from San Francisco, of the Guangzhou College of Traditional Chinese Medicine in Guangzhou, China, and with the University of California. Elaine told me that their curator, Dr. James Affolter, was approached by the American College to see whether the garden in Berkeley would be interested in having a display of traditional Chinese herbs for their students to be able to come and see the actual plants that the medicines came from. They offered him a trip to China to visit different hospitals and gardens. And the next year they arranged to have Professor Xu Honghua of Guangzhou College come stay in Berkeley for 6 months. During that time, when he arrived, they had only designated just one bed. And when he looked at it, he knew that it wasn't big enough. And over time, they worked on it and they got the clearance to expand to two other beds. So there's a total of 3 beds now. There had been a collection there of Alstroemeria, which was pretty, but Elaine said that this project had so much more cultural significance. Fortunately, Elaine had been studying Mandarin, Chinese. While Professor Xu spoke only Cantonese, he understood her Mandarin, and they managed to communicate well enough during his stay to create the garden together. She would pick him up every day and drove him back and forth from the botanical garden to the house where he was staying. And during that time, he researched and designed the garden. His specialty was anti-cancer plants. And this garden's unique because it's arranged by treatment category, and there's an additional category for anti-cancer herbs that was due to Professor Xu's field of study. I asked Elaine where all the plants came from. There are over 100 different species of commonly used Asian medicinals. She told me that Professor Xu brought about 30 plants with him. He helped them identify another 50 plants in the Asian area that were growing in the gardens already and propagated them. There is this wonderful program that Elaine told me about, instituted where different botanical gardens would mail lists of their wild collected seeds to other institutes around the world, and then each garden exchanged seeds. There was no cost involved. The Berkeley Botanical Garden would collect native Californian species every other year and make a seed list to offer wild documented seeds from California. Elaine told me that the Shanghai gardens had a lot of great varieties of seed before they closed that garden. One of my favorite stories from Elaine about her time with Professor Xu Honghua was when she was driving him home and they passed Hearst and Oxford Streets in Berkeley, and he abruptly asked her to stop the car. He'd seen plantain, chichianzi, growing in a crack on the sidewalk. They pulled over, got a little scrap of newspaper, and as people were walking by, they sat on the sidewalk collecting seeds. The Chinese medicine herb garden at UC Berkeley continues to be well cared for. I visited last January to see flashy red quince blossoms and plum blossoms from Wumei. Most of the plants are dormant in the winter, other than those two, though, and ideal times to visit, in my opinion, other than those two in flower, are from spring through summer and autumn to witness the flowering and fruiting of many herbaceous plants, shrubs, and trees. A few of my favorite surprises have been seeing Wuweizi and Yinyanghuo in bloom, both of them with really small, beautiful flowers, as well as seeing fresh Shanjia and Shanjuyu fruits on the trees. The garden is only a demonstration garden. It's not harvested for use. The Chinese medicinal section is easy to locate with the beautiful 2,500-pound stone that was donated by the Chinese Ministry of Health and installed just before the garden's dedication in 1987. California residents can receive discounted entry if they schedule ahead using their public library card through the Discover and Go program. You can Google search Discover and Go and find that online, or check the written article for a link. And for hours and directions, you can see botanicalgarden.berkeley.edu. I also wanted to talk a little bit about growing a Chinese herb garden at home, which I think is a totally worthwhile endeavor for any lover of Chinese herbs, especially practitioners. There are so many reasons to personally grow Chinese herbs, even if it's only a small garden, even if you don't have a lot of space. Some of them are to get to know the herbs that we use clinically a little more in their whole and beautiful and alive states. Another is for the simple joy of witnessing natural cycles and spending more regular time outdoors. Outdoors is a place where many of us experience being part of something much larger than ourselves and of really feeling the interdependent web of which we are a part. The garden's a model of health, cyclical alternations of rest and activity, of receiving nourishment and of letting go. Connect with the wisdom gleaned by the ancients of quiet observation, whether doing the simple task of weeding or watering, or doing Tai Chi or Qigong, or simply just relaxing after a long day in the clinic. If you don't have yard space, many herbs can be grown in pots successfully. Start with just a few plants. Check out some of the seed and plant and learning resources that I linked in the written article, including the Lilium Initiative, who hosts online bi-monthly growers support group for anyone growing Asian medicinals, and they also offer educational talks every month. Medicinal herb gardens are treasures, and as we see with the closure of ACTCM, they can be impermanent. Enjoy the time in the garden, whether in your own garden or a botanical garden near you, and keep your eyes out for some of those medicinal plants that might surprise you at garden nurseries or front yards. I always feel such gratitude to see the transformation of blossoms into fruits and some of our most beloved medicinals. Happy Earth Day.
Thank you for tuning into this episode on Chinese Herb Gardens with Dr. Jasmine Rose Oberst. If you would like to read this article, you can find it linked in the episode description. And please subscribe to the show. It's a great way to show your support and to hear when our next episode comes out. In our upcoming episode, David Heron is back to discuss part 2 of his research on topical steroid withdrawal. Until then, take good care of yourself and your patients. Chinese medicine matters, and so do you. Hi everyone, Lauren here again, wishing you a happy and healthy May. As many of you know, Chinese Medicine Matters is the podcast of Meiwei Herbs, a TCM online store and dispensary where practitioners can ship directly to their patients. This month on Chinese Medicine Matters, we're focusing on women's health. We'll explore a wide array of topics related to women's health at different stages of life. So stay tuned for informative episodes you won't want to miss. And we're excited to offer a special discount on our Women's Health Formulas category the entire month of May. Practitioners use code WOMEN24 at checkout on meiwei.com to receive a 15% discount. And remember to sign up for the Meiwei Herbs newsletter for exclusive content and ongoing promotions. The episode description includes a link to sign up. And thanks again for tuning in and supporting Real Chinese Medicine.